This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
Hello, my name is Mark Kelly, Chief Customer Officer at Aldis International, and you are listening to the Aldis podcast as part of our AI in Action series. I'm delighted to welcome Sebastian Wernicke, Chief Data Scientist at OneLogic, to the show. Hi, Sebastian, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Doing great. Hope you're too.
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. So, Sebastian, tell me a little bit about your journey to now, and then we can maybe delve into a little bit about your work as Chief Data Scientist at OneLogic and the team.
Yeah, sure. So originally, I'm a bioinformatician. So I started out very early with dealing with huge data sets at that time, genetics, and never really moved away from analyzing big data. And so for the past 4 years now, I'm working with a company called OneLogic based out of Germany, although we also do international work, where I'm chief data scientist. So I run our data science team, and we try to not only do the analysis as any data science team would, but have a very specific focus on the implementation also of the solutions that we come up with. I think that's what makes us unique and also the approach to data science that we're trying to take.
And tell us a little bit about what is happening at OneLogic and some of the type of problems that you're actually looking to solve there.
Yeah, sure. What we are trying to achieve is to deliver on the promises that have been made about data science or about data itself for many years. And the promise has always been that you want to do value creation with data. So you want to make something more efficient or enable new business models. And to do that, what we found is that we have to take a much wider approach than what you would usually define as data science, I would say. Maybe to illustrate this, one of our major clients called Markant, they are a service provider for many retail chains and many producers of goods here in Europe. And they worked with us on a project around forecasting. So helping their clients, which are those retailers and producers, to forecast the sales of products. And now if you were talking about this in a classical data science sense, you would basically just focus on the core engine. You would just basically say, okay, what are the best forecasting algorithms that you can do? What's their performance? How can you make them fast? And we do all of that as well, of course. So in fact, we're producing like a billion forecasts every week in a quite a short time. But in order to make this all usable and really help the retailers, for example, have a more efficient ordering, have more efficient logistics, there's all of these things that you need to do around that to make the forecasting itself useful. Everything needs to be automated, for example. You need to make sure that all this data that is flowing in is constantly monitored, it's automatically cleaned. You have no chance for any manual intervention. And so also even before the data gets to the algorithm, there's a lot you need to do. And also afterwards, so once you've produced your forecast, it's not just enough to have a data table, but you also need to present them in a format that is consumable by the stakeholders that in the end are supposed to take some different action on that. You know? So do things better than, or enable them to do things better than they could do before. And what we're trying to do is really to cover this whole chain and think about the full solution. And of course, we love the technology and we love the algorithms, but we try to build all of the necessary things around that as well. So to make fully usable solutions rather than just conduct, let's say, analytic projects.
I like that you talk about the full solution, because there's a lot of empathy there, because you're walking in the customer's shoes and you're seeing this is what a full solution looks like rather than part of maybe an analytics of, you know, well, okay, what's the next best action? And if you're helping with that next best action, you're adding value.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that's crucial. Yes. And it's also the way we try to measure ourselves. So it's always great, of course, when a client comes to you and says, oh, this is great work, this is interesting. But in the end, we really try to be able to always have the bottom line in mind and really be able to quantify the benefits, because our experience has been, unless you're able to quantify the benefits, you're probably not thinking about the whole solution yet. If you're just saying we improved the forecasts by 0.03 in whatever metric, that's not the benefit yet. But when you can say, okay, I'm making money for my client, or I'm helping them save money, be more efficient, be more sustainable, that's actually when the whole solution is in your frame of mind, I would say.
Yeah, so could you maybe go into a little bit more detail or maybe an example, and then maybe some of the challenges that are posed? Because I'm guessing there's probably consistent challenges with customers.
Sure. So let's take another example to illustrate this point of the bottom line. It has a really nice acronym. It's called a Sales Configuration Recommendation Engine, or SCORE. I guess we started out with the acronym and then figured out the words for that, which we built together with a strategy consultancy called Oliver Wyman, where I also used to work a couple of years ago, who has for a while been considering these algorithms. And what this does is, this engine at its core is, the idea is to use a large amount of data for car customers and to give the dealers of the cars recommendations on how these cars should be configured. So the idea is that if you go to a dealer and say, I want to have my customized car, that the dealer can positively surprise you essentially and say, actually, I have a car that's configured almost like you wanted already here. There's no waiting time. You can take it immediately, which of course has a huge impact on the bottom line if you get this right. The client we implemented this for, which is a German, they saw up to a 13% increase in revenue from the spend on these configuration options. But this has an algorithmic challenge, of course, which is how you build these algorithms. And that of course is always a part of the project, of the challenge. How do we actually, what data is there? How do we take it? How do we transform it, clean it, and train models that are able to output the useful results? But the other challenges, when you think about the whole solution that come in and that I think are consistent, are on the one hand, this whole topic of robustness. Because of course, if you are actually using algorithms to configure cars on a daily basis, using a large amount of inflowing data, you need to be 100% sure that this algorithm works really nicely every single day. There's no margin for error. There's no going back, because once this car is built, it's built. And something that I think in a, let's say, classical analytics setting, where I just want to do a proof of concept, does the model work or not work, is not emphasized as much. But here in an industrialized setting, I really need to make sure that everything runs as it's supposed to, or if it doesn't, that the system has a really nice fallback, that there's sensible alternative options that are being taken, or that the system just knows about it and that it monitors itself. Yeah, so that I think is one of the big challenges that always comes up. The other challenge is all about the end user, in this case, the dealer, who is supposed to trust the system to configure cars in the right way. So this has to do a lot, not only with getting the algorithms right, because a typical car dealer probably won't have a lot of understanding of those algorithms, but a lot to do with communication, with explainability, with making sure that the system is on the one hand easy to use and very intuitive, but on the other hand also has a certain degree of transparency. So if there and options, yeah. So if there are questions, if there are doubts, that the user can actually react to that and has some interaction options. And I think those are challenges we need to address always, when we think about the whole solution, rather than just saying, okay, what's the best algorithm to solve a certain problem?
Yeah, and I think it's very important to have that at the forefront of your mind when you're working on these type of challenges and problems, because you want to be very solution focused. And with so many new technologies coming out, there can be the temptation to go and try to fit around the technology around the problem, when basic regression could be used
yes,
in that case. So it is important to take that into, and value such as 13% increase is very significant. Tell us a little bit more about the technology underneath the hood and how you actually go about using that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I don't think it's a surprise to any listener that we use a similar tech stack as everybody is using. So the technologies Python, R, Spark on the analytics side, Docker, Kubernetes for the whole model serving, and then the common front-end frameworks to build responsive interfaces that work on many devices. So we use something like Vue.js. At the very bottom, I would say the tech stack is more or less the same that everybody's using. It's best-in-class open source solutions. But since we do projects on a repeatable basis, what we have found is that there's many steps where you don't always want to start building from scratch, and where you also want to have an environment where all of these frameworks like Python, like Spark, like Docker are integrated under basically in a single framework. And so what we did is we developed a platform to accelerate building these solutions, and the platform it's called OneData, and it allows our data scientists to quickly or much more quickly build the full solutions for the clients, because we already have certain components pre-prepared and we have all of these technologies integrated into a single platform. I would almost compare it to a chef on TV. Yeah, when they show the cooking, yeah, they still cook you a custom meal, but they already have all the ingredients basically pre-cut. So all they need to do is take these fancy bowls and pour them together at the right time. And this is we are also using for ourselves. So in the OneData platform, we will have modules to connect to various data sources, whether it's a Hadoop, an Oracle, an SAP database or something else. We will have frameworks to quickly build applications in a responsive framework. And in between, a workflow engine that allows us to use anything from Python to R to Spark. Of course, you can also use Spark from Python for the technically minded users. But do that all seamlessly, and that really accelerates our work. So underneath it, it's all standard, robust, well-tested components, but the way that we use them, we accelerate for ourselves. That's the approach that we take to that.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
Tell us about the team then, because there must be a lot of diversity required in terms of skill sets because of the different work that you're doing.
Yeah, of course. And it's an extremely broad skill set that we need in the team. From what you would call probably the classical data science skill set, where you are very good at building models, at understanding and cleaning data, to other capabilities you would probably more put into the software engineering bucket, architecture, writing clean and modular code, being able to test products end to end. And then there's also things like UX UI design, because you always want to build an attractive solution so that it actually gets used. And we need to cover all of that when we deliver our solutions to our clients. And so it's very clear that no single person can accomplish this. I think that was already true for the classical data science skill set, where for a time people were all looking for this unicorn full stack data scientist, which clearly is very rare. And when you find that person, you won't find a whole team of them. And so we have to put cross-functional teams together that really complement each other in the skill set and make sure that we cover all of these aspects, but still keep the team at the same time compact enough so that it's agile and can really quickly deliver. I think that's the art here, so that we have a broad skill set, but at the same time, we can have a handful of people, let's say 5 or 6, covering most of them, so that we still have the speed when we deliver these solutions and it doesn't become too complicated in the end. Another thing that I sometimes, when people join my team, are surprised about is that we really place a lot of emphasis also on soft skills and communications. In addition to the technical skills, we do lots of trainings on things like communication and stakeholder management, because the whole people competency and really understanding what the clients need, what their clients need, what their problems are, is in my mind just as important as the technical competency, because otherwise you might very competently solve slightly the wrong problem, so to say. And in this way, I always say to my team, we are not solving data problems. We are essentially using data to solve business problems and to solve organizational challenges. And in order to do that, the whole aspect of communicating, bringing people together, and making sure everybody's interests are aligned is hugely important to us.
I was just making notes there Sebastian, when you take in so much thought to building the right team, and it's multifaceted, to making sure that the different personalities come together and then they get energy from the type of work that they're doing. Because unlike your typical agile environment that you're working in, there's so much more research embryonic. The embryonic nature of it is people will fall down rabbit holes, and it's not like you can pick up a nice tidy gyro ticket and work on some of these solutions. You need to really think them through and define the problem that you're working on, and then make sure that the whole team is rowing in behind that.
Yes, absolutely. And the getting that clarity also together with the clients. And of course, it's a very collaborative effort, because our clients, they know their way around the topic of data, of course, but they also, you know, want to know from us what else can be done. How can we take this one step further? And really having this intensive discussion in the beginning and making sure we all have a crystal clear target to run to, that is just invaluable. And it's like with any coding or more complex task, don't start coding right away. Make sure you fully understand what you're actually trying to solve and try to figure out the best way. And then you get into the whole technical weeds. Yeah? And it's much more productive. And also, as you mentioned, I really like that, much more energizing for everybody.
And my final question, where do you see the future of this going to? You know, we've just had Tesla's AI day, which was pretty incredible. Some of the innovations they're looking at bringing through, some of the work in NLP that we're seeing, and computer vision. What are you seeing?
This is incredibly exciting, of course, everything that's happening there in these areas, especially with the whole neural network revolution. For myself, and also the way that we are thinking about this as a company, what we are really trying to tackle the problem of data, because it might sound trivial, but I think everybody right now is realizing just how crucial data is. No matter what algorithm you use, you can have the smartest algorithm out there. If you don't know where the data is, if the data doesn't have the right quality, if you don't know how you can navigate your way around your data landscape, all of these algorithms aren't very much used. So we, and also I think many of our clients, are really trying to invest our time and energy is to tackle this topic of data, because that's also still today where data scientists invest most of their time. It's not tuning algorithms. It's not finding the right algorithms. Actually, right now you can throw a lot of compute at the problem to solve that if you want to, but it's really getting the data ready for the algorithms, getting the data ready to train the models and produce quality results. And this problem is not new, but I think that we now have the means to address it in innovative ways, because traditionally, if you wanted to, let's say, document all the data that you have, you would have a lot of people running around asking everybody what's in your database and how can we understand that. And I think one of the ways that we are trying to address it with the topic that we are calling data cartography is to automate that data landscaping process, using algorithms to actually connect data sets, using algorithms to automatically detect anomalies and quality issues in there. And so I think using algorithms not just as, let's say, coming at the end once you have the data, but using algorithms earlier on to actually make the data more usable and make the data easier to understand, that's, in my mind, one of the most beneficial areas where we can invest our time and energy. And I think also, if you look at this, how I think the task of the data scientist then can again be more focused on really building architectures, building systems, building solutions. You accelerate the part with the data using algorithms. I think we already have accelerated the part of model training with things like AutoML. And now once we have accelerated these parts, then the data scientist job can really focus on the most value generating parts, which is designing the end-to-end solution and then making sure that it's really implemented very nicely. And hopefully that's the way we're going.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Dr. Sebastian Wernicke.
Wow.
I thought to put it in because I didn't do it at the start, but like you spent
such a German thing, isn't it?
I know, but you spent so much time in university. I thought I'd introduce it.
Oh, it was a work of pleasure, though. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the vast majority of the guests are doctors, so I probably feel bad now that I don't necessarily highlight it too much. But we can call you, unless I say Seb Wernicke, Chief Data Scientist at Woodlawn. logic. Thank you so much for your time today.
Fantastic. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Aldis podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly, Chief Customer Officer at Aldis International. And we've been speaking to Dr. Sebastian Wernicke, Chief Data Scientist at OneLogic. And in our podcast today, we've heard about how Sebastian's journey to now, how his work he's doing with his team at OneLogic, some of the problems that they're actually solving, and some of the innovative ways they've gone around searching on working on those problems, the increase in return on investment and then challenges to actually working on these problems day to day, the diversity of the team and making sure that you have the right types of people and people who are energized working on the problems that we have. And then we later talked about the trends and where we feel the market is going. Thank you for your time today. See you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.